How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Vicki, I am so excited to have you share your story with the Organize 365 community. Can you start by telling me, how did you even find Organize 365?
Well, first of all, I have to tell you, I'm like an organizing junkie. And I think because of the algorithms, you came up on Facebook, and it's like, oh, who's this? Lisa Woodward, Organize 365. And of course, I had to open it up and see what you were all about. And I fell in love.
Oh, yay. Yay. So tell us about the people who live in your home with you.
Well, we're empty nesters. So it's my husband. We've been married for 40 years.
Congratulations.
You. And we have three cats and one dog.
Oh, how fun. So you have a lot of fur kids.
Oh, we replace children with pets.
So do you have children?
We have four grown children. Okay. And they're all married, and we have nine grandchildren.
Oh my gosh. How fun.
They're fun. Ages 3 to 10. The hardest part is really it's just the three-year-old that we get to see all the time because the other kids are in school.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Spoil her.
Oh my gosh, so fun. I am looking forward to the grandparent stage. My children are 18 and 19. I'm talking about it way too much. And my daughter's like, Dad, why does Mom keep talking about being a grandma? I'm like, it just seems like so much more fun.
It is so much more fun. Knowing what I know now about being a parent, I could have skipped all that and went right to being a grandparent.
Yeah, but I don't know if you would appreciate being a grandparent as much if you skipped it.
Probably not.
Okay, so no kids at home other than fur babies. So why did you decide to get organized? You already said you're kind of like organization obsessed.
I think that the first reality in my life was when my grandmother passed away, and we literally brought a dumpster to her home that was bigger than a semi box. And it was just, she had like 20 some grandkids, and we literally did not know what to do with her stuff. She had so much stuff. And we live in a different state than our children. And I do not want to leave that legacy with them. Mm-hmm. I'm already going to have to deal with it with my dad.
Yeah.
But I do not want to leave that for my children whatsoever. And you know what I've figured out is kids don't want your stuff.
They don't. I mean, don't be offended. Nobody's kids wants their stuff.
They don't.
Yeah, they want their own stuff.
Yeah. All right, now they'll take our furniture because their kids are in rough, tough ages.
Yeah.
But when we're gone, hopefully that'll be a while from now, they will have been established, have gotten established, and they won't want our stuff.
Yeah, and if you're getting rid of it now, I mean, just ask them, and if they don't, then don't feel bad about it.
I don't.
Yeah.
And I don't feel bad about keeping all of my past relatives' things.
Yeah.
I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just pass them all down to my sister. And she lives in like a hoard situation.
So you're just delaying the inevitable.
I just gave her mom's china.
Yeah.
My mom had passed away a couple of years ago. I'll never use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless it was having a tea party with the little girls.
Yeah.
I would never use it. So.
Oh my gosh. I remember having tea parties with my grandma and with my mom. We totally did. And we got to use real china when we did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I have a special tea set that I'm going to pass to my 10-year-old granddaughter someday. And then even the boys like to play tea party.
Mm-hmm. Just a fun thing to do at your house, right?
Yes, it's just something we do together. And that they don't forget it. It's just so important.
And I almost think like doing that, getting out all the little saucers and the cups and making fun little heart-shaped peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and stuff like that at your house over the next 10 years is where the memories of that china is. Like, even if you pass that on to the grandchildren later, they will remember doing that with you, but they will probably never do it again. So it's, use it now. Like, if a teacup breaks, we've got 14 more. Like, there are plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty special with it.
So fun. So fun to be able to make those special memories that they only get to do at your house. What do they call you, your grandchildren?
Most of them, well, one family, the boys call me Grandma Cheeks. And one of my grandsons, it's just funny, he calls me Granny. But the rest of them just call me Grandma.
Okay, so this is what they get to do at Grandma's house or Granny's house. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the fun of Grandma's house. Like, at my grandma's house, when you got up in the morning, you ate this health bread that had like nuts in it. And Grandpa put wheat germ in the oatmeal. And like, I ate it all at Grandma and Grandpa's house. I couldn't wait to spend the night at Grandma and Grandpa's house. If my parents tried to do any of that, I was like, no, we're not doing that. Okay. So you like have full range.
That's exactly what the parents say. I could never get them to eat that.
Right.
But also, I've always called my children and my grandchildren my kitchen counter kids. Oh, fine. I've always let them be a part of the process of making. Mm-hmm. So I think that makes a difference too.
Yeah, because if they're just doing it every once in a while and you clean up the mess, it's no big deal. It's the everyday that's hard when you're the mom, not the grandma. So the first time of year that you got started in the 100 days, what time of year was it and what did you do first?
It was the fall, and I had been listening to the Sunday Basket a lot, your podcast, I was glued to them. And then I started the 100 days in the fall, and I was actually thought, well, I'm way ahead of this because I'd really done a lot of the decluttering. But when I actually went into the 100 days, there was so much more I could do. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to go through the decluttering process as well as the organization process, all in one scoop, one time through. And then I was just left with, now what do I do?
Mm-hmm. So often I will say sometimes the first time you go through the 100-day program, if you're totally overwhelmed, really all you end up doing is decluttering, which is what I did. But you were already decluttered, and so you were able to do a little bit more decluttering, but also figure out where you wanted those things to live at the same time. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Because we had moved from Iowa to Wisconsin 4 years ago. So we decluttered at that point. And we had just downsized from our family home.
Oh, wow.
So we've had where we hadn't had a lot of moves in our previous years, the last 5 years, we've had 3 moves.
So how long did you live in the family home?
Oh, we lived there from about 25 years.
Okay. How old was your youngest when you moved into that family home?
Oh my goodness. Let me see. He was 6.
Okay.
And he's 33 now.
Okay. So the majority of your, like, not baby years, but school years, high school, middle school, starting college, all that happened in that house.
All of it. Yes.
What was the process like? And this isn't on like our list. So sorry, I'm going off script. I always do. What was the process like of downsizing that house the first time you moved? When you moved from that house to the first move, where did you move? What started that move, and how long did it take you to prepare for that move?
The first house that our children were born at, and we left that house when the youngest was a year and a half. Okay. We left because it was in the 80s, and there was the depression that went, or the it went on at that time, and we just needed to get something else. We bought this big old house that was not in a really nice area of town. And it was at that point that I went back to school with 4 little kids. And
oh my gosh.
So when we were then able, we moved then to the house that we really raised them in. Okay. And I didn't do a lot of decluttering to make it to that house. And the reason why is we didn't have anything. And when we moved to the house that they basically were raised in, we had the two living rooms. So the kids had their space. We had our space, huge yard. It was a split level house. We just had tons of stuff.
Yeah.
And then we did one more move, which was almost 5 years ago. We were downsizing. Okay. We got rid of a lot of stuff, but really we didn't. We mainly downsized the garage and the yard. I know that sounds funny, but we did. But it was right after we bought the house that my husband said, Vic, I was offered a job in Wisconsin, and I really want to take it. Okay. And I was in the midst of my teaching career, and I just was so sad, but I said, okay, we're going to go. And it was at that point that we had to really downsize. Because we didn't have two living spaces in the house we just came from. So we just had tons of stuff. And that was hard. But what I did is I just called Habitat for Humanity.
Oh. And it came out?
They came and they just took it all.
Furniture and everything?
Everything. Oh, they're wonderful.
Really?
That's my to call people.
Oh, how did I not know this? I'm writing it on an index card for those of you that cannot see us. Is there a cost for that?
No,
That is so interesting. So Habitat for Humanity will build houses for people who need help building houses. I don't know all the details, but I do know that you have to put in sweat equity on your house and other people's houses in order to get a house. And then you do end up with a mortgage at the end, but they need, like, it's a great place to declutter or donate any of your household repair type stuff. Like if you've got an extra door or window or, you know, all that, you'd be like, how would you have that? You'd be surprised. You have all this kind of stuff in your house, but I never thought about the furniture also.
Furniture, dishes, you name it. They will.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that is amazing. Okay. So you had the house that you lived in for 25 years with the kids when they were six, all the way through grade school. You ended up moving just to really downsize the size of your garage and your yard and you did some decluttering, but not much when you moved within Iowa. And then right away you decided to take this opportunity and go to Wisconsin. And this is when you decided you really had to downsize the amount of stuff. And you called Habitat for Humanity. Okay, so then you moved to Wisconsin. Uh-huh. Where'd you move there?
And we moved to Unalaska. And when we moved there, I still had way too much stuff. Mm-hmm. So again, I called Habitat. And they came in and we had extra refrigerators. We put in a new kitchen. So we had all this extra appliances and all this stuff. And they took so much. It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so then this spring, we decided to move to a 55 plus community.
Congratulations. I'm looking forward to that as well.
That a basement is a wonderful thing for me.
Yeah.
So now it's just a matter of finding homes for the things we did keep. Mm-hmm. And starting all over again. It's hard.
So... but isn't it fun though? I mean, like you and your husband have been married for 40 years. That is awesome. Don't you feel in some ways like you're having like a rebirth and like you're getting to do it over again?
No, we're tired. We're tired of decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you had talked about decision fatigue.
Yes.
It's a real thing.
Yeah. You'd rather have less stuff so you don't have to make any more decisions.
Exactly. And the stuff we do have, we have to figure out where to put it. Basements were very handy for that.
Yes.
So without a basement now and a lot smaller garage, we've had to make a lot of decisions.
And I've watched my mother-in-law do this as well. She got rid of the basement. She actually fell in the basement and broke her pelvis. Luckily, I don't even know how she got out of the basement, but then she ended up clearing out her house, and she did move to a patio home as well. She has a two-car garage. It's just her.
and no upstairs and no basement. So it's just patio. But she loves to decorate. She loves the holidays. She loves to craft. And so she has the storage shelving that I talk about built into her garage. And it was really hard for her. Like, she decluttered so much as she was moving. And we were like looking at the moving company. And I kept saying to Greg, this stuff is not, I've seen the new place. This stuff is not fitting in the new place. And it was, even after she moved in, then it was a constant, like, even furniture was lined up in the garage that she loved and she wanted, but there just was no room for it anymore.
I understand that. I'm a quilter.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most difficult thing for me.
Yes.
Was to, and it was beyond belief how much I had acquired.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one room that the builders messed up on was my quilt room closet. And I like to have everything just put away. And now I'm not able to. It's on shelving out in the room. Mm-hmm. And that's, it drives me crazy. But it also is makes me very aware I have too much stuff.
Yeah, I think though sometimes, and I don't know, so you can answer for us. As you make this move to a smaller living space and you're a very active person and you've got these grandchildren, like, you're not like sitting in a rocking chair all day. I noticed with my mother-in-law as well, she like gets bored because there's not a job to go to and there's not like all these projects to do. So now that she has streamlined her life so much, she's like, what do I fill my time with, which isn't shopping and buying more things? So like now you actually have the time to do the quilting you always wanted to do.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
I do have that time, but I miss being in Iowa where I had my friends to quilt with.
Right, the community.
I miss the community. So as I meet more neighbors at this community, I hope I find some quilters.
Yeah, I think I'm noticing even for myself in my phase of life, as the kids are not where my social comes from, creating my own social circles again around the things that I love to do and really seeking those out is, it's key. It takes time and time to invest in finding if this is the right group for you, and then time to actually go to the group.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Can they retrofit that closet and fix it for you?
Nope.
Okay. Moving on.
But what I'm going to do is, the quilts that I make, 99% of them, I make for charity reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going
working
to
through it.
Shopping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and buying it as you actually are ready to make that quilt.
Yep.
It's so different then though, like my aunt was a quilter. Like when you started quilting back in the day, like it was a big deal to go to the quilt store and then maybe they would have that fabric and then later they wouldn't. So you'd want to stock up on it and you'd want to save and the store would be closed when you needed what you need. Like it's such a different shopping environment now than it was then.
It certainly is.
Mm-hmm.
Shop hops.
Yeah.
Whoever created a shop hop was ingenious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, we're still purchasing the way it used to be versus recognizing, oh yeah, I can pretty much order that anytime and it'll be here tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah. That's just, shop hops are a big part of social climate for quilters. I was a bus mom once and I probably won't ever do that again, but it was a fun experience. Believe it or not, Lisa, I don't like to shop.
No?
No.
I don't either.
Oh, not at all.
I mean, I love to shop on Amazon.
Amazon.
I don't like to shop, shop. It's like hot and sweaty and depressing and I don't know. I never seem to find exactly what I was looking for.
And I look at Amazon that I've planned.
Yeah.
To get whatever I need. So if I need something, I go onto Amazon, I get it, it's done.
Yeah.
My husband and I have date night on Tuesdays.
Fun.
Every Tuesday. Well, then we'll go out for supper and then we might go to the library or do whatever. But he always tries to steer me to a store. And I say to him, I do not want to go to Menards tonight. You probably don't know what Menards is.
Oh, no, we have it. Yes, I do.
But it's like, you just try to trick me. No, I do not like to go.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, my goodness. Well, there are worse things he could trick you into.
Yeah.
So when is the first time you noticed something was organized that hadn't been organized before?
When I started teaching, I I would say that it would probably, no, that's not it. When I started going through your plan, the paper.
Yeah.
The paper has been huge in my life. Mm-hmm. And I originally thought, well, I don't have paper.
Yes, that's what everybody says to me. Oh, that's nice for you. I don't have paper.
I have paper. But here's one thing is that I had put my paper in a lot of notebooks. Mm-hmm. So now what I have to do is declutter the notebooks.
Yeah, and get the information out.
Right. I didn't have file cabinets. I just had it in baskets and in notebooks. Yes. And I realized that's the same thing as having it everywhere.
Yes. So, and Habitat for Humanity doesn't take the paper away, do they?
No.
So what has happened since you started this journey of organizing that you didn't expect to happen?
The friendships and the communication I have had with other women. And I say basically women because that's mostly what it is.
Yeah.
And I've just met some wonderful people online. And because I don't have a job in my life or children that I'm raising, I have more time to go online and I've developed communications and friendships with other women. And I enjoy being their cheerleader.
Yes, you're so good in the Facebook groups. Like, I love going in the Facebook groups. You know, they've deemed me a robot, so I can't like or comment on anything in Facebook anymore. But I love going in and just seeing everybody interact with each other. And everybody has, like, your personality and your style in those Facebook groups really shines through as you interact with the other people. And it's so encouraging and supporting. Like, there's no judgment, no condemnation. All the grace is given. It is so awesome to see.
I don't think that any of the women that are on there are in any way anything but kind.
Agreed.
They're kind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have all been there. And the thing that I have noticed most about my life, when my house is in chaos, my life is not going well. Mm-hmm. And it isn't until I can get control of my house, then the rest will fall into place.
So true. That's what I noticed to be true as well. Like, I feel, and that's why you said earlier that it's mostly women, and it is mostly women. And the book editor is like, we need to make this more gender neutral. And I meet guys and they're like, well, do you have a solution for us for paper? And yes, it works for everyone, but women, we internalize it more than men do. And for us, it's more like an ongoing life issue. For men, when they want to get organized, it's more like a project that gets checked off. I don't know why. It's just different. It's just different.
I actually think my husband's the harder one.
Yeah?
His garage's workbench is never clean.
Yeah, but does he see the rest of the house as cluttered? Like, No, it doesn't bother them. Like, they literally can walk through a room of complete chaos and it does not bother them. I mean, it does to an extent, but not the way it bothers us. Mm-hmm. And it could just be generationally, you know, you and I generationally, maybe it's not true in the younger generations, but as I'm talking to people in the millennial generation, it's the same thing. Yes. It's more of a women's issue. We just take so much, we take on the house on us. Like the house is a reflection of us so often, absolutely. Even though other people don't see it that way, but we do. We see it that way.
And I think that other people don't understand. If I would go into someone else's house, I'm not judging their
house. Correct. But we feel judged. It's so crazy. Like, but it's so true. Like, you know, it's so true. Totally.
I would help anyone in a heartbeat if they ever wanted help. It's just how that goes.
Exactly. All right. So obviously, you've gone through a whole bunch of moves, but as you've been doing the 100-day program, have you had any unexpected events happen during this time?
Unexpected as in something that surprised me or?
Yes, anything.
Did I answer that question?
Yes. You're the one that had so much free time you didn't know what to do with, and everybody online is like, we can tell you what to do.
No, that is exactly what happened. That was after at the end of the process. Gotcha. Yeah. No, that was absolutely terrible for me.
Me too, honestly.
I was guilt.
We want time so much, and then when we get it, we have no idea what to do with it because we never thought we'd get it. It's like the dog that chased the car and caught the car, and then he's like, well, I didn't anticipate this, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly, and it was horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a good feeling at all. It should have been. I should have been so happy. I should have been so excited, but I just sat there and did not know what to do.
And did you find a solution?
I started to read a book.
Mm-hmm.
I started to find, get back into interests that I had not had time for. And I was able to fill that time up. I joined a quilting group on Alaska, and I just started to fill those spaces in and loved it.
Yeah. But it is, I mean, it's just like as you start to go through the program or as you move from one house to the next, you start to have empty drawers, empty cabinets. And that's the first tangible sign of like, oh, I'm living with less. And you have to start to be okay with cabinets that are not completely full. And eventually your calendar ends up not completely full either.
That is so true.
Yeah.
I love the empty spaces. But you know what I filled mine up with?
What?
Those cubbies.
That's fine.
I have so many of those little cubbies that they're my little junk drawers now. Like I have a cubby that says batteries, one that says light bulbs,
yeah,
one that says electrical strips. So I filled up those spaces with the cubby idea I got from you.
Yeah, I love cubbies. I think it's because we're school teachers that we like the idea of cubbies. Maybe that's it. I'm not sure. So what do you wish that you knew sooner?
I wish that I had known sooner that there was a support group out there and that women, generally speaking, were all going through the same thing, only it's a little bit different. We're all going through our different life phases and our steps progressing through life. And if I wish I would have had that support group and the guidance that you have that I could have followed a long time ago.
Yeah, I feel so many people feel like they are the only one. They're the only one that can't get out the door on time. They're the only one that can't get the laundry folded and put away. They're the only ones who don't know where this piece of paper is. Everybody else has it all together, but they're the only one. And it's just not true. You're not the only one. We're pretty much all there right there with you, right?
We are.
Totally. So if somebody was just starting out, they're like, okay, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get started. What advice would you give to them as they're just starting?
I would tell them to just go all access right away. And the reason for that being is because, one, you have access to all the podcasts in a systematic order instead of, it's not quite so easy when you're going onto iTunes to find exactly what you're looking for. And then you also have all the online support that goes with it. You can get into those closed groups and you're free to ask questions and you are available to ask questions and Monique and other people. So just having all that support. I wish I could go to a paper retreat.
Yeah.
Really not worked on my notebooks.
Yes. Well, you're in Wisconsin. I'm trying to think who we have closer to you than me. How far is Cincinnati of a drive? It's got to be like ridiculous from Wisconsin.
I think so. I think it's quite a ways.
Yeah, it's way too far. So you're going to have to go to
organize365.com/browse-directory or just scroll to the bottom of the homepage at organize365.com and click on the pink button.
But it would be fun to be at one that you're at.
Yes. Well, with the book tour, you know, I'm going to be traveling around.
And I would have loved to have gone for a cocktail.
Yes. Oh, so we're recording this. This bar is making a drink for me called the Lisa to celebrate 5 million downloads in 5 years. And so here in Cincinnati, we're all going to meet and have a drink tomorrow night. But this will be airing much after that. But yes, we will be meeting up next year. The book tour here, the book tour will come out August 4th of 2020. And then I'm going to basically just travel the United States for a year, just meeting you guys everywhere that you live.
That will just be amazing.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. Wow. As you can tell, I'm planning a year in advance.
You're going to be so tired.
Well, I am slightly nervous about that. So I am figuring out what foods are best for me and don't make me tired, including those that are quick that I can eat on the run. Like I found Kind bars are really great, and I have another protein bar I love. Which coffees are good and which coffees make me tired. I'm working on supplements. I'm planning things in the evening so that I have to put in an all day day from morning till night, not in front of my computer at my house where I get in the car and drive around. And like, I'm really stretching my muscles that way so that when I do this book tour, I'm able to keep up.
Well, good luck.
This is the kind of exercising I do, people. Definitely different.
It just seems a little overwhelming to me.
Well, it would be much easier if everybody came to Cincinnati, but not everybody's going to come to Cincinnati.
True. That is
so true. It's been my dream for over 10 years to do this, and so I'm going to do it. I'm going to be exhausted, but it's going to be so fun.
Going to be fun. I hope you come to Wisconsin.
I know. Everybody's saying all these states I didn't have on the original 75 days away from Cincinnati. I'm going to have to figure it out. Because I just have to figure it out. We could always do book tour year two.
There you go. Or if you go to Iowa, I spend a lot of time in Iowa.
Yes, Iowa is probably, yes, because that's between Chicago and St. Louis or the other one I keep forgetting the name of.
Minneapolis, probably.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to do some of these as like a long weekend and just fly up there and stay a couple of days and come back, because Minneapolis, Arizona, Washington State, like they aren't as close to anything else where you would fly in there and drive to something else. You'd have to fly. So I think I might add in a couple of long weekends in amongst all the other things I'm doing.
It's just exciting.
It's one gigantic jigsaw puzzle and I'm really enjoying it.
Well, I hope I get to meet you at some point in person.
Me too. Vicki, thank you so much. I know that this story is going to help a lot of people, especially those that are going through that process of decluttering the family home and making that move. It's a big one. And there's a lot that goes on as you make that transition. And I don't think it's talked about very much.
Well, maybe it's time to start having that dialect.
Yes.
Vicki,
thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.